Thank you so much. Good morning, brothers and sisters. Wow, okay. Say to the person on your right, I'm blessed to be seated next to you. On your left, it's your privilege to sit next to me. Would you do that? Okay, it'd be great. Wonderful, okay. I know some of you are lonely sitting by yourself. God bless you, it doesn't matter. Okay, the welcome is just as warm here, okay, in KL Baptist Church. And likewise, all of you up there, okay, in the balcony. Those are reserved seats. You're going to pay more than those downstairs, all right, in the cinema we used to attend. How many remember that? Can I see your hands? Okay, once upon a time, if you go to cinema, upstairs is more expensive seats. The downstairs are cheaper seats, okay, right now, okay. Well, I don't know, time passed by very, very fast. In a blink of an eye, so many years have passed by for so many of us, okay. I'm 74 years old, just a blink of an eye, just like that. You know what happens? Once upon a time, we got long hair. Now we are longing for hair. Amen? Right now. Once upon a time, okay, we got six packs as men. Now we're struggling with our one pack right now. Okay, once upon a time, we love Rolling Stones. How many remember Rolling Stones? See your hands. Okay. Now we struggle with kidney stones right now. Okay. All right. Once upon a time, we remember everything. Okay, once we everything remember. Nowadays, when we come downstairs, we just tell ourselves, what did I come downstairs for? How many can identify with that? See your hands, okay? All right? Your neighbor's hand is not except your neighbor. Your turn will come very soon. You will see that, okay? Right now. Time passed by very, very fast, okay? And which is true for all of us. I thought myself this morning, I'm going to speak about this subject of free to serve and to witness, which is, I think, very, very important, okay, for all of us. So we read a passage of Scripture from the words of Jesus himself, taken from Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 15, okay? Can I ask you to stand, all right? In honor and respect of God's word, we're going to read aloud together, okay? In our strongest, most robust KLBC voices in Desa Park City, amen? In other words, okay, from the NIV, okay? This is the, okay, never incorrect version of the Bible. Is it okay? All right, one, two, three, let's go. Forgive us our debts. Sorry. It should start from verse 9 onwards, sorry. Okay, come, let's read again together. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For we forgive men when they sin against you. Your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Father, take your word by your Spirit if it inspired, O God. Speak to us and challenge us and draw us on in response, Father, I pray, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Do take your seats. Amen. Now, how many of you have been hurt at least once in life? You have been hurt at least once in life. See your hands. How many of you? Okay, if your hand is not up, you're almost like Jesus. Never hurt will never be hurt. Okay, you're in church, cannot tell lies. Okay, how many of you have been hurt at least once in your life? See your hands. Okay, that's better. How many of you hurt all the time? Don't put up your hands. Don't put up your hands. Okay, because you are hurt all the time, you need prayer as well, isn't it? But friends, can I say, the reality of life and living for all of us will be hurt. No matter how old we are, how spiritual we are, we will still be hurt. That's a reality of life. Nobody escapes, whether we're Christian or not. That's a reality. Sometimes we hurt people to the words we speak. We hurt people to our actions. Sometimes, you know, people are even hurt by the way you look at them. God or not. Just the way you look, people get upset and hurt. So it hurts something that is real for all of us. And nobody escapes, okay, to it all. Okay? But what happens if you and I harbor that hurt, and some people harbor that hurt, and they can harbor it for years and years. See, friends, if we harbor that hurt, okay, hurt is always to do something with the past. If we harbor it, the past has imprisoned our present and keeps us from living into the future. You realize that? Because hurt is always something that has happened in the past, but you keep on harboring, holding in your heart. It is imprisoning your present. It is holding you in, holding you back, and it keeps you from living to the future. There's some people who harbor hurts all the time. They're actually living in the past. They're not living, right, realistically in the way we ought to be living. And sadly, some people, friends, have been in prison. So they're not free to live, free, not free to serve, not free to be a bad witness, right? Because every time when they talk about it, what happens, all the wounds and hurts comes out, which is so sad, isn't it? Right? It is not. It's between individuals. It is between nations as well. That's why you see wars and fights across nations. That's what it is. Hurting one another out to eliminate one another. Isn't it? What a tragedy, isn't it? Friends, you know what? What is the solution to our hurts, wounds, and pains, whether we're Christians or not? Friends, can I say, The solution is only found in the message of the gospel. It is only in a Christian message that offers us a solution how to resolve our problems when we are hurt and wounded. And at the heart of the Christian message, friends, you know what? It's a message of forgiveness. Why? Because here, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 tells us like this, Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. You see, at the heart of the message, it is God in Jesus Christ who has forgiven us first. Amen, isn't it? He has forgiven us on the cross. And because He has forgiven us, that's the reason why, friends, the Bible can command us to forgive one another, isn't it? And that's why, friends, can I say, people in the world outside, those who are not Christian, they cannot understand. They also say, why must I forgive? Which is true. Why? Because they have not been recipients of God's forgiveness. You and I as Christians, we must know better. We should know better, really. So if we harbor hurts and wounds and pains, we have not fully appreciated the Christian message. The message of it, at heart of it, is a message of forgiveness, which is, I think, so important for all of us. So now the thing is this, friends, it affects people of all ages, of all cultures, right? Of whatever religious backgrounds, it will continue to affect us. Now, why is it we must forgive? For us as Christians, which is, I think, so, so important for all of us, isn't it? Why is it? First and foremost, friends, it is a command of Scripture. The Bible commands it for all of us. So Colossians chapter 3, and in verse 13, it says like this, bear with each other, forgive whatever grievances you have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Why is it we must forgive? Because God has forgiven us, and because we are Bible-believing Christians, because we honor God's word, we obey God's word. That's why when Bible commands, what do? We obey. Amen? Right now. We obey. We submit. That's what it is. Because if we refuse to obey, friends, you know what? We'll be gripped. We'll be crippled. And that's why some believers are living a crippled life. Why? Because they're not living in obedience to God's word. Because God's word is there for our good and for our best. Can we go amen for that? That's what God's word is, isn't it? Okay, in fact, what happens is, last year, I was speaking to the Malaysia Baptist Convention. Your chairman invited me to come and speak to your convention. Last year, it was held in Melaka. So all the Baptist churches, the pastors, and the leaders got together in Melaka. In Penang. And the night before, the vice chairman took me out for dinner. And he said to me, Pastor Daniel, three top distinctives for us who are Baptists. What are three top distinctives? First one is the authority of Scripture. Second one, is a priesthood of all believers. Thirdly, it says baptism by immersion. All right? I come from a Methodist background. So I told him, you know what? My friend, you almost make me a Baptist because we practice all these three things in DUMC. Dharmasarawata Methodist Church. DUMC stands for also Definite Unusual Methodist Church. That's what we are right now. Okay? And so I say, you almost make me a Baptist. But you know what I said to him the next day when I spoke to the convention? I said, you know what happens is not only your vice chairman almost make me a Baptist, but I said to all of you, even the first Baptist wasn't baptized. You know, no? Yeah. Who was the first Baptist wasn't baptized? John the Baptist. Hello, are you there? You see, in Matthew chapter 3, he came to Jesus wanting what? He came to Jesus, but actually Jesus who came to him wanting to be baptized right now. Okay, and what did John the Baptist say? I did baptize you, rather you baptize me. But Jesus prevailed upon him to be baptized. So you know what? The first Baptist wasn't even baptized. Hello, are you there? All right, no. By now, God have mercy upon us, in all of this. But what if one of the top distinctives you have is what? The authority of Scripture, right? We submit ourselves, we live in obedience to Scripture. When we live in obedience, friends, can I say, to the Word of God, we live powerfully. But we live in disobedience, we will never live a powerful life. That's the reality. And so, friends, you know why you said we must forgive? Firstly, it's a command of Scripture, right? Forgive one another as God in Jesus Christ has forgiven us. Second reason, why is it being blessed? But before that, in fact, Nelson Mandela says this to all of us. When a deep injury is done to us, we never heal until we forgive. I think this man knows better than most people on earth how he and all the blacks in South Africa during apartheid regime, isn't it, has been oppressed, persecuted, tortured, even killed, isn't it, tragically and sadly, right now. And here's this man who eventually won an election to become the first black South African president. You know what happens? Many blacks rose up and said, this is the time to fight against the whites. This is the time to get rid of them. What did Nelson Mandela say? This is not a time. right? This is not a time to take revenge. This is a time for forgiveness. This is time for healing. And brilliant words of him. When a deep injury is done to us, we never heal until we forgive. And that's why he set up the Truth and Reconciliation Committee, getting people who have done wrong, comfort, confess your wrong, we'll forgive you, and let's be reconciled and move forward towards as a nation. That's why, through his leadership for 5 years in South Africa, he really set a fantastic example of healing, reconciliation, forgiveness, and moving the nation on. You see? So why is he meant to forgive? Because it's command of Scripture. Secondly, why is it we must forgive? Because of the example of Jesus. What is the example of Jesus? When here was Jesus hanging on the cross for no sin of his own. Amen, isn't it? He was hanging on the cross for whose sin? Your sin, my sin, the sin of the whole world, isn't it? Well, what did Jesus pray up there on the cross? For none of his own sins. You know what I would do if I were to hang on the cross for no wrongs of my own? You know what I would do? I would say to God the Father, Heavenly Father, okay, punish him all gao-gao, right now. Punish him nicely, properly, fully, totally, completely, right now. Okay, but what happens? Not for his own sins. When Jesus hung on the cross, he prays to the Father, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. What an amazing, amazing prayer. What an amazing heart, isn't it, of Jesus. Not only he teaches about forgiveness, he models it for us. He lifts it up, all right? And that's the way it is, okay? In fact, what happens? Martin Luther King Jr. says this like this to all of us. Forgiveness is not an occasional act. It is a permanent attitude. Not just an occasional act only. It is a permanent attitude we must carry again and again and again, which I'll explain a bit more afterwards, okay? But thirdly also, otherwise we cannot come to God in prayer. Why? Because these are the very words of Jesus himself who says to all of us in the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, okay, all right, to God the Father, and says, forgive us when we pray to God, forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors, isn't it? I prefer, in fact, the Luke's version of it where it says, forgive us our sins, as we've forgiven those who sin against us, is it? Right now. Now, see what happens when we come to God in prayer, right? Not to really confess our sins, right now, to God, rightly asking God for mercy, for grace. But here, you notice that Jesus says, all right, not just to pray to God to ask us to forgive our sins, but to forgive also those who sin against us. Right now. Not just we're asking God, forgive us our sins. We must be willing to forgive those who sin against us. In other words, Jesus is saying, if we're not willing to forgive those who sin against us, we have no right to come to God to ask forgiveness of our own sins, which therefore means, at the heart of it all, no right to come to God in prayer. Now, that's a very serious matter, isn't it? If we as Christians no longer have an opportunity or chance to come to God in prayer, we're in big, serious trouble because we know prayer is vital. Prayer is a lifeline we have with God, isn't it? All right? And friends, when we are not allowed to pray or cannot pray at all, what a tragedy. What a disaster, isn't it? And so, friends, Jesus is saying, unless you're willing to forgive those who sin against you, you cannot ask for forgiveness of your own sin, which therefore you cannot come to God in prayer. That's what Jesus is trying to tell us, isn't it? That if we're unwilling to forgive, then we cannot come to God in prayer. Notably, there's one more thing Jesus says to all of us, okay? Fourthly, otherwise we cannot know God's forgiveness. Not that we cannot come to God in prayer. We will not be able to know even God's forgiveness. Why? Because here in Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, it says to us, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Now, these are not my words. These are the words of Jesus himself. Scary, isn't it? Frightening. All right? But true in every respect indeed. When Jesus says this, that when we're unwilling to forgive those who sin against us, neither will we know the Father's forgiveness. When that happens, we're in big, big trouble, isn't it? Well, maybe some of you say, okay, Pastor, now, okay, agree with you that we must forgive. But tell me, how many times must I forgive those who wronged me, those who hurt me, those who sin against me? How many times must I forgive? Let me do a survey here. It's okay. How many of you, we are willing to forgive people up to 3 times? See your hands. Up to 3 times. Okay, a few hands. How many of you, more than 3 times? See your hands. Hey, what happens to the rest of you? The rest are willing to not willing to forgive even once. Is that right? Okay, right now. Friends, can I say, this is not just your problem, my problem, as to how many times. This is also the problem of Apostle Peter himself. Why? Because here in Matthew chapter 18, right? This is what we are told here, right? The gospel from Matthew tells us like this. Matthew chapter 18, verses 21, 22. Come, let's read together. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times, Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Not seven, but 77. What did Jesus mean by forgiving someone else 77 times? Now, it is not this, okay? It is not this. When somebody hurt you, do wrong, sin against you, you tell the guy, you watch out. You got 76 times left, you watch out. Now, this is not what Jesus meant. If the guy hurts you, you watch out, you got 75 times left. Now, this is what Jesus meant, right? This is not what Jesus meant, forgiving someone 77 times. Now, we all know, I'm sure you're well taught as Baptists, isn't it? All right? The number seven is a perfect number in Scripture. Amen? It's a perfect number. But what about 77? 77 is this. To forgive again and again and again. That's what it means. Okay? Now, how many of you, right, when sometimes you come to God, ask for forgiveness, you confess to God, okay, 77 times. Again, how many of you confess to God 77 times? Okay, no hands. How many more than 77 times? See your hands. All right, let me see your hands. How many? Oh, my goodness. Okay, there are many sinners in your church, okay? Right now. But don't worry, my hand is also up. Right now. Now, have we ever, when we confess to God, one day we confess to God, bam, the red light comes on, and God says from heaven, my son, today 77 times already. From tomorrow onwards, no more forgiveness left. Have we ever heard God saying to us like this? Never, isn't it? Of course, we want to be sincere, want to be honest, we try our level best not to do wrong. But sometimes we still do, isn't it? And we've confessed to God, has God ever said to us, sorry, my son, your quota is up. All right, forgiveness, there is no forgiveness left anymore for you. God doesn't do that, isn't it? Of course, we take our confession seriously. But sometimes the reality of life and living is that we do wrong things, sadly. We try our level best not to. But sometimes, sadly, we do, is it? Because we are safe sinners. But what happens when we sincerely confess to Him? Will He forgive us? Of course He will. It pains His heart. It grieves His heart, of course. But He will forgive us, isn't it? So, friends, you know, forgiving someone 77 times doesn't mean we keep a score. It is to forgive someone again and again. I know it is hard. It is difficult. Tough, really, indeed. But you know what happens, right? If we don't forgive, it's even worse. You know that? Okay, so not only why is it we must forgive, right? But what happens to us when we forgive? Because the consequences of not forgiving is even worse than forgiving. You know that? I will explain to you as to why afterwards, okay? Now, what happens is God will never say to us, shame on you, being such a senior Christian, being such a mature Christian, being such a spiritual person for not forgiving. You know, friends, can I say, God will never force us to forgive. Forgiveness is a choice. All right? If we choose not to forgive, we're in big trouble. When we choose to forgive, something happens. What happens to us when we choose to forgive? Firstly, friends, it sets me free. It sets you free when you forgive. Why? Because, you see, when you're hurt, you've got unforgiveness in your heart. Isn't it? And if you harbor that, what happens? Every time you see that person or think about that incident, what happens? You don't feel good on the inside. What does it show to you? It shows that you're not free. It shows that actually you're in prison. That's the reality when you choose not to forgive. In fact, Lewis Smith, this psychologist, okay, from Fuller Seminary, says this, to forgive is to set a prisoner free, only to discover that the prisoner was you. Isn't it? Because when you choose not to forgive, every time you see that guy or think of that incident, something not nice happens inside you. Not nice that happens. What does it show? It shows you're not free. Isn't it? But what happens when you choose to forgive? You choose to let go. It sets you free. But more than that, friends, you know what? Not only sets you free, it sets the other person free as well. You know that? That you don't have to hold on to that person anymore. You want to let that person go. When you let that person go, not only you are freed, that person is freed as well. That's the reason why the scary thing about unforgiveness is this. Every unforgiveness results in two prisoners. When you don't forgive, not only you're not free, the guy is not free. Why? Because you are saying in your heart to him or to her, I'm not prepared to let you go. We got a score to settle. Until that score is settled, I will not let you go at all. So every unforgiveness results in two prisoners. And friends, can I say, there are more prisoners walking the streets of Kuala Lumpur than all the prisoners in Sungai Buloh prison put together. That's not too far away from here. Hello, do you know or not? Your prison is not too far away. The main major prison is not too far from here. All right? You see, they don't realize, and friends, can I say, many people look free, walk free, even the streets of Kuala Lumpur, maybe even here in this lovely place called Desa Park City. Many people walk free, look free. Friends, can I say, there are many hurt and wounded people. They may look free, they may walk free, but deep in their hearts, they're honest with themselves, they're actually not free. And tragedy of all tragedies, there are more imprisoned people walking the streets of Kuala Lumpur thinking they're free when they're not free at all. That's why, friends, can I say, especially in Chinese culture, that's where the problem is. When somebody hurts you, what do? You try to bow show the guy nicely, right now. You try to take revenge. How many of you love Jackie Chan? Okay, movies, can I see a hand? Okay, Jackie Chan movies. So few hands. Something is not right with all of you. You know what happens? I go to Moscow, Russia to preach in a church of 5,000 people. I say, how many of you know Jackie Chan, love Jackie Chan? All the hands went up. Some 5,000 hands went up. I went to Sao Paulo, Brazil to preach in this big church of 5,000 people as well. How many of you love Jackie Chan? Okay, know Jackie Chan, love his movies. All the hands went up. My goodness, Russians and Brazilians love Jackie Chan. How come Malaysians don't love Jackie Chan? Hello, are you there? And many of Chinese background somehow, isn't it? But what happens in all these kung fu sub fighting films? It is constantly what? Taking revenge one another, constantly bow showing one another. That's where the problem is. All right? That sometimes if I cannot take care of you because you hurt me, I bring all my brothers along. And if all my brothers can take care of what I do, I bring all my uncles along as well, isn't it? And that's why there's this constant conflict. What a tragedy. Because right, in the Chinese culture, you're not told to forgive. All right? Not yin yang. Okay? But bao chou, take revenge, isn't it? And that's why, friends, can I say, sadly, it is not uncommon to see in many families two brothers not talking to each other, two sisters not talking to each other, a brother and sister not talking to each other, two uncles not talking to each other. What a tragedy. How sad, isn't it? Give you this example. I was preaching in this big church in Singapore. At the end, I gave an altar call. And I saw one man right in the front seat there. In fact, his executive pastor of the big church, American guy, when I gave an altar call, he put up his hand. I said, wow, my goodness. You mean pastor of a big church also got problem one? So anyway, I connected with him at the end. All right? I said, my friend, I noticed you put up a hand. All right? What is it about you put up a hand? And he said this. I put up a hand on behalf of my brother in the United States. My brother and our father, they have not been on talking terms for 30 years now. For 30 years now. Imagine, friends. It is not just Chinese got a problem. Americans have got a problem. Hello, are you there? And for everybody has a problem. Every culture. Every friends can say nation got problems like this, and that's that real tragedy of it all, isn't it? All right, that I pray, he said, by God's grace, I raise my hand on behalf of my brother. By God's grace, there will be a breakthrough that will take place in my brother's life. They will learn to humble himself and solid right with my father. What a tragedy, isn't it? All right, it has broken family after family, relationship after even nation after nation, isn't it, friends? But when we choose to forgive, don't think it sets me free. It sets the other person free. But there's one more thing. And the amazing thing is this, thirdly, that there is healing. So, amazing healing. Why? Because James chapter 5, verse 16. Come, why do we read together aloud? Together. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that it may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Isn't it amazing? That you and I, as followers of Jesus Christ, there can be healing and wholeness for all of us. We don't have to live in the brokenness. We don't have to be fractured. There can be healing and wholeness for all of us, provided what happens? We humble ourselves. We ask for forgiveness. We put each other right with one another, which is that is so, so important for all of us is in this regard, isn't it? So, so important. Again, I preach in this church. What happens at the end of service? A gentleman walked up to me. In fact, a number of them walked up to me. And the last person who saw me with tears in his eyes said to me this, "Pastor Daniel, thank you for your message. I believe God has spoken to me." And he said this, "Tomorrow morning, Monday morning, I'm going to the lawyer's office. I'm going to see my lawyer and tell my lawyer to tear up the divorce papers I am instituting against my wife. I want to tell her, tear up the divorce papers. I'm not interested in any of the pursuit of divorce against my wife." You know what I said to him? "Brother, I'm very touched by what you said. Really touched by what you said. I thank God for your humility, because it requires a lot of humility right now to say, forget about it all right, instead of being stubborn, instead of holding on, all right, to our rights. It's okay. Let go. Forgive. Move on." He says, "I'm going to see my lawyer. Forget about the whole thing." I said, "I commend you for humility. But I want to pray for you for one more thing." What's that? Thank God for humility. I want to pray for one more thing. And the second thing is, I pray that God will give you courage, that you will follow through what you say tomorrow morning. See, sometimes when the chips are down, right, you get scared. You're not sure you want to follow through with that action. So not only I thank God for humility, I want to pray for courage that will really follow through what do you say to me. You know, at the end, after I prayed for him, the senior pastor of the church took me out for lunch. I saw him walking to his own car. You know what happens? He was walking to his own car. You know what happens? He drives a very nice car, all right. Friends, can I say, driving a nice car is no indication things are okay on the inside. Hello? Are you there? Not today. Holding a high position is no indication things are okay on the inside. There are many people holding high position living in Desa Park City. No, amen. Yeah. Okay. Driving a big car, holding a high position is no indication things are okay on the inside. But friends, can I say also, living in a big house is no indication things are okay on the inside. Why? Sometimes a problem living in a big house is this. And we've been to a big, huge bungalow house up on a hill here, okay, that belongs to a church member of ours, okay? Living in a big house is no indication things are okay on the inside. Because why? The problem living in a big house is this. We can live in so many rooms, we can avoid each other. Hello? Right? That's why sometimes living one room apartment is very good, oh, isn't it? So you have no choice but to meet and face each other and sort things out like this, isn't it? Friends, you know, when we don't face it head on in humility and say, "Lord, forgive me for my stubbornness. Forgive me for holding on to my guns, thinking I'm smart, I'm clear, I've got the right." You don't realize you're imprisoning yourself. You don't realize you're crippling yourself. You don't realize you actually have no freedom, isn't it? And there's so many not free at all in every society on earth. And what a tragedy. But friends, when we're willing to choose to forgive, we free ourselves, we free that person. When we come to God in prayer, God brings healing. So, so important for all of us, isn't it? Now, how many of you have heard also people tell you, "Hey, come on now, John, forgive and forget." How many of you come across this? You said, not uncommon. Friends, can I say, forgive and forget is an unbiblical understanding. It is not scriptural. Forgive and forget. Let's be honest about it, okay? All right? You've been hurt by someone. How many of you still remember? You have really forgiven that person, but you still remember the incident. You still remember the way the guy talks to you, points a finger. How many of you still remember to see your hands? Hey, so few only. Wow, you are a great church. I like this church. My goodness. All right? Let's be honest about it. When you hurt so deeply by whatever, isn't it? You remember everything. You have really forgiven that person. You don't harbor any more grudge, but you still remember. Friends, can I say? Nothing wrong with that, honestly. The key is not, friends, forgive and forget. Honestly, we don't forget, right? What is the key? The key is not forgive, forget, but the key is what? Forgive and forbear. And that's what Scripture tells us like this, okay? All right, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another, forbearing one another. Now, friends, bearing or forbearing one another in love is not what? Okay? To forbear is not trying to tahan that guy, try to stand it until he dies or I die, then it's all over. That's not an understanding of forbearance, friends. To forbear, Scripture tells us, forbearing one another in love. What does it mean? It means what? It is not trying to tahan, trying to stand that guy. It means you try to reach out to show love to that guy, forbearing that guy in love. Show acts of kindness to that guy, isn't it? Maybe send birthday cakes to that guy, okay? Hello? Are you there? All right? Yeah, all right? Maybe invite that guy out for a drink. That guy probably has something gone wrong with you. Invite me for a drink. But seriously, you know, it is not forgive and forget. Because honestly, speaking, human beings, we do remember it's okay. Forgive and forbear. And forbearance is not trying to stick it out, grit our teeth, what to do, go to tahan each on you until one of us dies. No, no, no. Forbearance in love. Still wanting the best for that guy. Really. And that's why Jesus would say to all of us, not only love your enemies, but also what? Pray for your enemies. Right now, how can you honestly pray for enemies if you do desire the good for that guy? You see? Right now. Unless you honestly and sincerely desire the good for that guy. We honestly cannot pray for our enemies. But Jesus commands us to pray for enemies. You see? Right? And so, friends, you know, forgive and forbear. It's so important for us, and it's forbearance and love. Okay? Very, very important for all of us in regard. Right? But there's one more thing, friends. How do we know we have truly forgiven? How do we know? Sometimes we've been hurt so deeply. Hey, I've forgiven you, nothing to talk about. But sometimes, you know what happens? We just wonder, because I've hurt that guy so deeply, that guy said, yeah, it's okay, I've forgiven you. Sometimes you wonder, true or not, isn't it? Real? Is it real or not? Now, how do you and I know we have truly forgiven that person? And the test is this, friends. Every time you see that person, think about that person, is there any more pain in your heart? Is there any more pain in our heart? If there's still a slight pain, we have not fully forgiven. We have not totally forgiven. How do you resolve that? How do you settle that? And the way to resolve this is go up to that person and say to that person, my friend, every time I see you, I can't tahan you still. I still can't stand you. Right? Tell the guy, ask the guy, I'm so sorry. Really seriously. What is this? It's the guy who hurt me. Why must I now apologize? Yeah. Why? Because the guy is already free, but you still harbor this in your heart. It means you're not free. Well, so what do you do? Go up to that girl and say, I'm so sorry. Whenever I see you, there's still a bit of pain in me. All right? Please forgive me. Let's pray together. Ask God for mercy, for grace, for healing, forgiveness. Really, that's the way forward. Because otherwise, you know what happens? We'll be crippled on the inside. We'll never walk in freedom. All right? And it is irrespective, friends, of our age. It is not how young we are, how old we are. A boy as young as 9 years old recently was counseled, so angry with the parents, wanted to kill the parents even. Imagine. All right? So it's all across the age groups that we see these kind of problems happening. And that's the reason why, friends, can I say, the message of Christianity is the greatest message of all messages, because why? In the message of Christianity, at the heart of it all, it's forgiveness in Egypt. Because otherwise, we'll keep on fighting each other. We'll keep on fighting each other between communities, between nations. And there's no end to it. The answer is not fight one another. The answer is forgive. Answer is let go. Answer is to move on. So, so important for all of us. Let me close with this. I was preaching in this church. At the end of the service, one senior lady came up together with her grown-up daughter for prayer. I said, Pastor, can you pray for me? My husband, her father. I said, yeah, sure. How can I pray? All right, for him. And she said, Pastor, my husband's a very angry man. He's refused to come to church for quite a long time now. Very, very angry on the inside. I said, I'm so sorry, sister, to hear about this. Your sister, you know, why don't you take my sermon? Maybe take this sermon I just preached. Take it back. Let your husband listen. I think it will help him. You know what she said to me? Pastor, if you take a sermon, let my husband listen. My husband will kill me. Oh. Wow, there's a lot of angry people around. In Malaysia, be very careful. Those of you not coming from Malaysia, okay? Watch. You know what I said to her? If a husband is not careful, his anger will shorten his life. Really? Friends, can I say, life is not what we eat. Life is what eats us. And we can be eaten from the inside out by bitterness, anger, resentment. It can shorten our life. All right, there's a whole area of diseases in medicine called psychosomatic diseases, diseases that's in the mind, psychosoma in the body. All right, that we harbor this anger, whatever, in our heart, in our mind, it's going to show us in the body. There's some people are sick and still very sick, right? Simply because of the anger, bitterness, hatred they harbor. And tragically, when you do that, you might end up an angry old man. Is that what we want in life? What a tragedy, isn't it? Life is meant to be lived in freedom, in peace, and in joy. And that's the reason, friends, when we choose to forgive, we are freed from all of these. We are now free to serve. We're now free to bear witness with Jesus Christ. We're now free to be able to share with people the blessing, the grace, and the joy that is in Jesus. Because otherwise, what happens? We're crippled. And tragically, friends, can I say, there are so many Christians who are crippled, unable to move on, unable to serve, unable to be a good witness for Jesus Christ. Friends, I trust today you and I should know better. Amen. Let us pray. With his body and eyes closed, I want to extend an invitation firstly for us to respond. If today you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, you know, you're not a Christian. But today, this day, you want to say yes to Jesus. Friends, can I say, saying that yes to Jesus is the best and the greatest decision you ever make in your life. I said to yes to Jesus something like 54 years ago, coming from a Buddhist background. That changed my life totally, completely. And he wants to do the same for you, my friend. That if you don't know Jesus, you don't have a personal relationship with him. But today, you want to say yes, with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you like to. At the count of three, after this, would you raise up a hand? I want to pray for you. Are you ready? At the count of three, very well, you want to say yes, please raise up a hand. I want to pray for you. Are you ready? One, two, and three. Is anyone here? Thank you. Thank you. Right? Yes, another one. Another hand. Another hand. Another hand. Anybody else? Yes. Anybody else? Lift up and let me pray for you. Anyone? Young man up there. Thank God. Okay. We're never too young or too old. All of us. All right? God's grace is here for us. Okay. All right? Would you say after those who put up their hands, would you say after me this prayer? And church, can I ask you to join in, right, to encourage these people aloud, okay? Say after me aloud, those who put up hands, church, can you all join in as well? Say after me together, Lord Jesus Christ, I thank and I praise you for your love for me. Lord Jesus, I want to say that I'm a sinner. I believe you died on the cross, Lord Jesus, for my sins. Please forgive me of my sins, and come right now into my heart. Be my Lord and my Savior. Take control of my life. Fill me with the Holy Spirit and your power, and give me your love, your peace, and your joy. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, I pray you seal it deep in every heart, every life who prayed this prayer sincerely in their hearts, O God. Whether their hands are lifted up or not, you are an all-knowing God. So Holy Spirit, come seal in every heart that has prayed this prayer sincerely. And bring this new birth and new life to pass. And enable these, Father, I pray, to grow in the fellowship believers, even here, O God, in KLBC and Desa Park City. Bless His precious ones. They will be built up strong. They will bear witness for you, O God. And glorify your name, Father, I pray. And now I want to pray for any one of us here this morning or today now. Any one of us, you've been hurt and wounded. But today you want to let go. You want to move on. Or maybe you have even hurt someone else, but today you want to ask for forgiveness. This is a time, my friend, to respond to God. So whether hurts, wounds, and pains you have had, you have not resolved it. Today you want to say to Jesus, Lord Jesus, I want to let go. I don't want to hold on to this anymore. It has been weighing hard on me, weighing down on me. And some of you, I sense, weighing down on you for many years. Today God wants to set you free. And maybe for some of you, you need to go out and ask for forgiveness for those you hurt. But whatever it is, today you say, Lord, I want to be freed. I want to be set free. Whether wounds, hurts, and pains, whether it be inflicted on me or me inflicted on other people, today, oh God, help me to be free. If this the desire of your heart, again, friends, can I say, at the count of three, raise up a hand. I want to pray for you, okay? Wherever you are, downstairs, upstairs, raise your hand. You like to, I'm going to pray for you. Are you ready? One, two, and three. Can I see your hands? Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Yes, yes, right upstairs and downstairs, yes, many hands. Let me pray for you all. Father, I pray for all these precious brothers and sisters. You know each one of them. You know who they are, where they are. Father, I pray in mercy and grace you intervene right now in Jesus' name. I take authority every hurt over every hurt, wound, and pain. I bind, I loosen these things from these, my brethren. Set them free in Jesus' name, Father, I pray. Wash them clean by the blood of Christ, oh God, I pray. Purify them, oh God. Bring healing and wholeness, oh God, to the minds and to the hearts, Father, I pray. Deliver and release them, oh God, I pray, once and for all from these things so that they'll let go, so they'll move on, so they experience healing and wholeness from you even right now, Father, I pray, oh God. And restore them back to the joy of your salvation, that you will know grace and goodness, mercy and love, that you experience again, Father, oh God, healing and wholeness from you. So bless these precious ones, oh God, I pray, Father, and help us to move on. Help us to teach this and help other people also to be set free from every wound, hurt, and pain, so that we can together all move on to be free to love you, free to serve you, free to bear witness and be a wonderful shining example for Jesus, Father, I pray. So bless us all, Father, I pray, oh God, in Jesus' wonderful name. All you people say, amen, amen, amen. Over to you.